When people told themselves their past with stories, explained their present with stories, foretold the future with stories, the best place by the fire was kept for the storyteller.
Night was slowly giving place to day, that night in which the holy foster father of our Lord had received the order to fly into Egypt, and the morning sun had already begun to tinge with its ruddy glow the mountain peaks of Idumea. Hurriedly and silently the holy family pursued their way along the western shore of the Dead Sea, directing their steps towards Egypt. The divine child slept, Mary and Joseph communed in secret prayer with God. After a while, the Holy Virgin, sweetly turning herself to Joseph, said, "Dear spouse, how it grieves me that, on account of the child and his mother, you should have to undertake so wearisome a journey and bear so heavy a burden." "Grieve not," replied Joseph. "As for me, I think with wonder on the honor God has done me in choosing me as his instrument in this great undertaking. Truly, I know not what I have done to deserve it." At these words the divine child awoke, and looked up into Joseph's face with eyes beaming with love and confidence. Then, raising himself up on the lap of his mother, he bowed downwards as if looking and seeking for something on the earth. On the wayside grew white lilies, yet glistening with the morning dew. The holy Joseph understood the meaning of the child's movement, and stooping, he plucked one of the lilies and offered it to him. He stretched out his little hand to receive it, showing his childlike joy, as he held it up first to his holy mother and then to Joseph. At last he held it out to his foster father, and gave it to him, with a look, as if he would say, "Do you know now why God has chosen you as his instrument?" This look flooded Joseph's heart with gladness. For it filled his soul with a divine grace, which gave him so intimate an understanding of the beauty and sublimity of the angelical virtue of chastity and of purity of soul, that his heart beat, and his whole body trembled with joy. He held up the lily against the glimmering rosy light of the morning sun, and exclaimed, "Beautiful lily! Yet how far more beautiful the virtue of which thou art the emblem! Lily of a pure heart! 10 such lilies in Sodom and Gomorrah, and they would yet be standing in the midst of verdant plains. Marvelous justice of God against the abominations of sin. Now, in this hour, I understand his ways and the secrets of his judgments." Thus spoke the holy Joseph in the fullness of his heart, as he walked onwards, and beheld the drear and funereal aspect of the Dead Sea and its fearful shores. Just then a figure appeared in the far distance. Joseph's heart trembled as he thought of possible danger for the mother and child, but, as it approached nearer, he noticed that the habiliments were those of a woman. "Unclean! Unclean!" cried a shrill and mournful voice. It was that of a poor leper, driven out from the abodes of men. Her face was horribly disfigured, and her body was clad in filthy and ragged garments. Standing at a distance on the wayside, she begged an alms as they passed. Joseph handed the lily to the child to hold, whilst he drew out a small coin to give to the poor leper. The Holy Virgin loosened a little kerchief which she had wrapped round the divine child to protect him from the cold night wind, and handed it also to the distressed creature. Then Joseph, looking at the child, said, "You also, little one, would certainly wish to give something to this poor beggar if you were not so poor yourself." Thereupon the divine child held out the lily to the woman, fixing at the same time upon her an earnest but reproachful look. "See," said Joseph, "what the little one gives you, come and take it." The woman took the lily from the hand of the child. "Can a leper weep? Or has not the frightful disease dried up and destroyed the fount of tears? Be that as it may, as this poor leper took the lily, tears streamed from her eyes, and a convulsive sobbing shook her whole frame. She trembled as she staggered to one side, and stood watching the fugitives as they pursued their way until the distance hid them from her sight. She had been a great sinner, and the leprosy was the punishment of her evil and dissipated life. The divine child had given her more than the lily. With it, he had bestowed upon her the grace to see and acknowledge her hateful guilt, and with repentance came the memory of the long-lost innocence of her childhood. As her eyes lost sight of the retreating figures, she covered her face with the kerchief the Most Holy Virgin had given her, and throwing herself on the ground, gave way to a flood of tears, weeping as if her heart would break. The day had begun to decline, the western sky was flooded with a gold and crimson tint. But as the sun sank below the horizon, a cool, fresh wind blew from the west. The Holy Mother pressed her little one closer to her bosom, and drew her blue mantle tighter around him. She missed now the protecting kerchief which in the morning she had given to the poor leper. Joseph noticed her with pain, and there came a temptation to the poor, tired, houseless, anxious man, and he sighed as he said, "It will be very hard, O Mary, for poor fugitives and exiles such as we, to have to find food, clothing, and shelter. Soon the little sum of money we brought with us will be expended. Perhaps before we reach our destination we shall be penniless, and even when we reach the term of our flight, what means shall we find to provide for the future? Poor mother! Poor child!" Anxiously the mother looked at her virgin spouse, but she had to turn quickly to the child, who strove to raise himself in her arms, and was stretching out his little hands towards the ground. Again were the wayside lilies the object of his desires, and again did the holy Joseph pick one, and, as he handed it to him, he received one of those wonderful looks from his divine eyes that penetrated the inmost depths of his soul. "Pardon, pardon, Mary," he exclaimed. "I have indeed spoken foolishly." And he began at once to sing the 90th Psalm. "He that dwelleth in the help of the Most High shall abide under the protection of the God of heaven." As he continued it, the child fell asleep again in his mother's arms. And before Joseph had concluded the psalm, he espied in the distance a little lowly hut, or cottage, towards which he at once directed his steps, resolving to seek there a shelter during the night for the mother and child. The inmates of the cottage, though they accorded the usual Eastern hospitality, looked gloomily at them as they entered, and the master of the house, approaching Joseph, said with a surly voice, "Here you may indeed enter, but poverty and misery are the only dwellers in this abode, and despair is already on the threshold." "My friend," answered the holy Joseph, as he showed him the lily which he held with the pilgrim's staff in his hand, "behold this flower of the field, it soweth not, neither does it reap. It builds itself no shelter, and yet it always holds its beautiful head erect to the sun. Care never bows it to the earth. Raise up also your head, for the same God who cares for this lily, cares also for you." The impression these words produced was most wonderful, for the grace of the little Christ child was with them and with the second lily of Saint Joseph. The holy family rested for the night under this sheltering roof, and spent the evening in conversation full of comfort and consolation for those who had received them. In the morning they rose early to continue their flight, but before leaving, their host begged of Saint Joseph the lily that he held in his hand, and refused all other payment or gifts. He placed the lily in a vase of water, and as long as he lived it never faded or withered. Has it ever chanced to you, dear listener, at any time to stand in a garden, as the evening shadows fell and the somber veil of twilight began to envelop the earth as with a pall? At such a moment the lily flower appears to stand out like a corona of light, its glistening white petals breaking through the darkness. Well then, listen now to the story of Joseph's third lily. Many days had passed since Saint Joseph had left the lily in the hands of the owner of the desert dwelling, yet still the fugitives were hastening on their weary way. They were now nearing the frontiers of Egypt. Already from a curve in the road they had seen in the distance the dome of an idolatrous temple, rising from the midst of dwelling houses, and shining as it caught the rays of the setting sun. But the holy Joseph had a very sad heart. All the more because, as the sun set, a thick darkness began to spread itself over the earth, and it became almost impossible to distinguish the path they had to take. Laying his hand on the bridle of the ass which carried their little burdens, he sighed and said, "If only we had a torch." Just then the divine child, who was sleeping in his mother's arms, awoke, and stretching out his little hands, seemed to seek something from the ground. At once the holy Joseph looked and saw an object white and shining, gleaming amid the dark green on the wayside. Again it was a lily. He plucked it, and handed it to the child, but as he gave it into his hands, behold! From the corolla of the flower a dazzling white light streamed forth, which spread itself all around, whilst a small white host, with a tiny shining red cross in its center, floated just above the flower petals. The clear, bright light fell upon the pathway, and made the journey now quite easy. The divine child held out the wonderful lily torch to Saint Joseph, who, with renewed courage and joy, pursued his way, but silently, for a holy fear and astonishment possessed his whole soul. This light, which was a mysterious revelation of that food of angels wherewith the Lord feeds the souls of men, served as a guide for the divine child, on his entrance into that land, where of old the people of God had been fed with heavenly manna. And this mage of the most adorable sacrifice, through which the name of God, as the prophet had foretold, should be great among the nations, entered, shining brightly, into the idolatrous city, to oppose its light to the darkness of the idolatrous worship of an unbelieving people. Soon the Holy Family found themselves in the midst of an Egyptian city, and were passing before the great temple whose shining dome they had beheld from the distance. The light from the radiant lily fell on the huge misshapen and grotesque idol, carved in white marble, that was in front of the temple gates, and in this pure light it was changed into an object black and murky as the dark night. A priest of the idol stood beside it, and a ray of the divine light of grace fell also upon his heart. Raising his voice, he exclaimed prophetically, "O lily, you have come to conquer the lotus. Remember, dear listener, that the lotus flower was the symbol of Egyptian idolatry." The pagan priest, then turning to the Holy Family, said, "Strangers, whomsoever you may be, a god is with you, and his light enlightens you." And immediately closing the gates of the temple, he disappeared into its dark recesses. The Holy Family had in the meantime moved onwards, and reached a house before whose entrance a lamp was burning. Here the lily suddenly emitted a flame of marvelous brilliancy, illuminating the whole house as it stood before them. The Holy Joseph took this for a sign that he should here seek and find shelter. He accordingly approached the door, and in this domicile the Holy Family found a home at the commencement of their sojourn in the idolatrous land of Egypt. But the lily became invisible. It had been taken by an angel's hand and laid on the Mount of Calvary. This, dear reader, is the parable of the three lilies of Saint Joseph, but you must note well its signification, and remember the following lessons that it teaches. A pure heart is the greatest of treasures, and a pledge of predestination. Its loss the most deplorable misery and unhappiness. A pure heart is a source of consolation and confidence in God. A pure heart is victorious over the devil, idolatry, and superstition, and is the special and intimate friend of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament of the altar. Saint Joseph beseeches you never to forget these lessons.